Okay, yesterday we started the dinim of the concepts of kashering utensils. We said basically the way it goes in is the way it comes out. So if it goes in, the chametz goes in, or hot, the treif goes in with hot water, so then it goes out with hot water. Now, if something goes in with direct fire, so then it goes out with direct fire. That's what we discussed yesterday. Now, there's certain utensils that the Chachamim said cannot be kosher. Not only Pesach is stricter, but really applies year-round too. And why is that? For instance, the Chachamim said earthenware vessels, cheres, which is a broad term for earthenware, it includes porcelain, enamel, according to most opinions, ceramic, china, you know, all these things. The Chachamim said like this, that when you kasher it, it never spits out the absorption completely. Now, let's say you take a metal pot and you kosher it, so kashering and boiling hot water will spit everything that's absorbed in the walls of the utensil, will come out in the water, and then now the pot is like a brand new pot because there's nothing absorbed in there. Earthenware vessels, okay, if you kasher it, the Gemara says, you take let's say a china plate, which is earthenware, right? Or ceramic, which is earthenware. And you put it into boiling hot water, it's only going to take out a little bit. Do it again, it'll only take out a little bit. Do it a lot of times, only take out a little bit. It will never, any to me, they dafni of la'ilam, it never takes it completely out from the walls. There's one possibility, by the way, where the Gemara says you could kasher cheres, it's not very practical, and that's what's called hachziru lekifshan. If you put the china back into the oven that it was made in, I'm going to explain what the Gemara says. The expression of the Gemara is hachziru lekifshan. If you put it back into the same type of oven, that's what the Gemara's expression is, which today is called a kiln. So then, the Gemara says, why can you kasher it then? It's like a brand new vessel. You remade it. But that's why you want to kasher earthenware, even year-round. So you want to kasher earthenware utensils. The only way you can kasher it halachically, if you put it back into a kiln. It gets very, very hot. In fact, according to most opinions today, we learn about kashering a self-cleaning oven. We'll talk about it more as we go on. Even though the inside of the walls of the self-cleaning oven are not metal. It's metal coated with porcelain or whatever else it may be. So why can you kasher it if you turn it on to self-cleaning 900 degrees? So the Poskim write that the self-cleaning cycle is like putting it back into the original kiln that it was made in. That's how hot it gets to 900 degrees. Because then it's a chzir kifshin, so even though it's earthenware, you can kasher it. What?
Does that work for China if I put
it
in my self-cleaning oven?
There are poskim I heard that hold if you put china into self-cleaning oven, you might crack it though. You probably will crack it.
But it's possible.
I don't know. I didn't see everybody. I heard some big rabbanim said if you put china into a self-cleaning oven, it would kasher it. Now, can you practically? Because there's another din involved. Another din is that anything that you're afraid, by kashering it, you'll break it, or break through the hot water, let's say, so then you can kasher it. Certain fine china, or you put it into boiling hot water, it will crack. So therefore, Chacham said, then you can't, forget china, even if it would be something else. Even then, you wouldn't be able to kasher it, because we're afraid you're not going to do it properly. Because you're going to be afraid it's going to break. So you won't really kasher it properly. So then you also can't kasher it. Another difference between Hagala, which is the hot water process, purging process, versus Libum, we mentioned yesterday that Hagala spits it out. Spits out the treif, or the chametz. And Libum, the blowtorch, so to speak, the direct fire, destroys it. And therefore, there's a very interesting practical halachic difference. In order to kosher something with the hot water process, I'm talking about without all the lumdus involved, it's the practical halacha. You need to wait 24 hours before you kosher it. We mentioned this din yesterday. You need to wait 24 hours before you kosher it. When you blow towards something, or even according to Al Rebbe, leaving cow, you don't need to wait 24 hours. You can kosher it right away. Right? Used it for treif, you can kosher it right away for kosher for Pesach. A pot, cutlery, things that you're going to be koshering with hot water, that you have to wait 24 hours before you kosher it. What's the reason of that? Because we learned already in other dinim that the Gemara says that after 24 hours, okay. This is the pot, okay? So this is a treifa chomistika pot. Metal all the way, no problem, metal. So after 24 hours, we learned the absorbed taste in the walls become blemished. So therefore, let's say technically, I have a meat pot. I have a meat pot, and it's clean, and I didn't use it for 24 hours. And now I cooked a dairy soup in it. Halachically, the soup is kosher. It's a meat pot, but the absorption of the pot that has the meat in it wasn't used for 24 hours for hot. And therefore, what's absorbed in the, that's only absorption, not anything substantial. What's absorbed within the walls of the utensil are blemished taste. So it's not a real meat taste. Therefore, when I cook milk in it, it doesn't get mixed with real meat. And therefore, the soup would be kosher. Okay? Therefore, anytime you have a question in the kitchen, somebody use a milchika spoon to stir a fleshik soup, you know, is the soup kosher? So if the spoon wasn't used for 24 hours for dairy and is clean, and now you're stirring a fleshig pot, so the soup is kosher. You have a milchika spoon mixing it, but it's not really a milchika spoon because it's a blemished taste. It's not really dairy. If I would use that spoon within 24 hours, then I'd have a problem. If it's 60, not 60. Huh? Yeah, but I'm saying the spoon would have to be cut. Now, let me finish the point first. So now the problem is, why can't I have one pot, use it for meat, 24 hours later use it for dairy, 24 hours later use it for meat, 24 hours later use it for dairy? It sounds good, you know? But Chazal say you can't do it. Rabbinically, you can't do it. Because who's going to remember what the last usage was when? So therefore, after the fact, if it wasn't used for 24 hours, the soup would be kosher. But lechatchila, to cook a dairy soup in a meat pot that wasn't used for 24 hours, you're not allowed to. Chacham said you're not allowed to. Possibly, if somebody by mistake did, then the soup would be kosher. You'd have to kosher the pot because now you have dairy in the pot and you have meat in the pot and you got a pot that's mixed up. So the soup would be kosher, but the pot's treif.
You keep on saying about taste. Is the taste meaty or the meat substance itself?
The taste, well, both. Number one, the meat itself is treif. And then if there's a taste of meat, it's like meat itself. What's that? Let me give you a simple example. I make chicken soup. Not me. I don't make chicken soup. My wife does. I don't make it. If I make it, nobody would eat it. Okay. You take chicken and cook a chicken soup, yeah? Now this chicken soup is fleshig, right? If you eat it, you have to wait 6 hours to eat milk. But if I take out the chicken and I don't have any more chicken in the soup, the soup is still a meat soup that I have to wait 6 hours. But there's no chicken in it. So the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch, tam ki ikar. The taste of something is like the thing itself. Because this soup has the taste of chicken, it's chicken. Okay? It has the taste of chicken. Therefore, if I eat the soup without any chicken in it, I still have to wait 6 hours. Because it's meat and meat, okay? Now, if I take a pot that wasn't used for 24 hours, I'm sorry, I want to kasher something that was used within 24 hours. What?
A couple things. So first of all, chicken is also a derabanan.
I know, but I'm saying you still have to wait 6 hours after chicken.
Yeah, but if you have a derabanan with a spoon and the milk mix with chicken, it's also derabanan.
Pearl, then you're not, they're not makelin.
But if it's combined with two milk, that situation?
It's not such a heter. Not such, what? No, heter.
The other thing is that if you have a spoon in there, and the spoon is 24 hours already old, then it's going to be less than half of the shishim.
I said, then you'd see if it's shishim or not. I said that. If it's used that day. Okay. Now the question is like this. We learned that heat causes things to go in and causes things to come out. Yeah? So now I take a pot, I'm going to kosher it for Pesach in boiling hot water. Okay, so what am I gaining by it? The absorption is coming out into this liquid. Correct? But the question is, but it's still hot. Why isn't it going back into the pot? If I'm taking it, heat makes it go in and out. So if I'm kashering the pot to get rid of the chametz in the pot, but so why isn't it going back into the pot? Okay? So the din is, and this is a very practical in life law, I did the Torah lemiflat lebala. The Gemara says, if you're busy spitting out, you can't absorb. In other words, simple English, if you're busy talking, you can't hear. You get, that's it. But what's the practical halacha? So because I'm kashing the pot, and the food is coming out, it's spitting it out, it's not going to go back in because it's busy spitting it out. The problem is, let's say for argument's sake, it takes 2 minutes to spit it out. And I leave it in there for 3 minutes, so now it's done spitting out already. So why isn't it going to go back in? Right? So that's the problem with kashering the pot that was used that day. Because if it goes out, it might go back in, and then it's not a blemished taste. But if this wasn't used for 24 hours, so the absorbed taste in it is blemished anyway. It's not a real chametz taste, or a fleishik taste, or meat taste, or whatever. So therefore, hagola, you have to kasher after 24 hours. In other words, if it's clean, and we'll discuss next week more, if it's not clean, you can't kasher it. But therefore, if it's ena ben yom, if it wasn't used for 24 hours, and then you're kashering it, and the stuff is coming out into the water, I don't care if it goes back in, because it's not a real chametz taste. It's a blemished chametz taste. And you're talking about before Pesach. Before Pesach, neis and tam lebgam, a blemished taste is not forbidden. During Pesach, machlekes, whether it's in Shchanoch, it's machlekes, if it's neis and tam lebgam works in Pesach or not. What? This year, you have to do it before Shachar Mishus.
I know.
This year, you can kasher a whole day Friday.
I know, but a regular year...
Erev Pesach in the morning. The minig is not to do it Erev Pesach in the morning. You have to do it before Shachar Mishus.
So you stop, you have to do
only Libun? Then you have to do Libun. Now, let me just finish this point. So, because Hagolah spits it out, or we're afraid it's going to go spit back in, right, to be absorbed back in, so you can't do it for 24 hours. But when I cast you with a blowtorch, libun, I'm not spitting it out. I'm destroying it from inside the pot. So what's the difference if it's 24 hours used or not? This doesn't matter. It's not going to be fresh or not fresh. So to speak, fresh or sour. Fresh is the blemished or not blemished. I need when it goes out, I'm afraid it might go back in. But if I'm destroying it, it's not going out. It's not going back in. I'm just getting rid of it. So then you don't need 24 hours to cast you it. That's the logic behind it. Yeah, we got the...
Even if it's still a ben yomo, why would it be able to go back in, even if it's not
begam?
It should be batul b'shishim also, no?
It's not necessarily batul b'shishim.
Hagol, but
because the walls, you don't know how much is in the walls. So you have to consider the whole pot. The whole pot is not shishim times what's in it.